Yeah, I'd like to call this meeting of the Othello City Council, Monday, November 28th, to order. Would you all please rise for a short silent prayer, asking for God's wisdom and guidance for the city council and for this city? And now join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. As we move down our agenda, item 1.3 is roll call. I see that all the members of the city council are present. And we'll move to item 1.4, which is citizen input. I understand Gina Bullis has requested to address the city council. Gina, if you'll step to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, if you would, and then you have up to 5 minutes to address the council.
Okay, thank you. My name is Gina Bullis, and my home address is 2010 East Madera Street, Othello, Washington. Okay, so if you don't know me, I'm Gina Bullis. I'm Assistant Superintendent for the Othello School District. And I'm here to share with the council, I believe many of you may know, the district's in the process of purchasing land that is for the purpose of development of schools and playfields, and is in the city, 14th Avenue, 7th and Lee Road border, the subject property. And in our discussions with the city planner, we advise that such development, that the land will need a change in zoning to allow for conditional use permit application for public facilities. And we'll soon be submitting paperwork to initiate that process. So tonight, I'm here simply just to let the council know that, know of the district's development plans, and on behalf of the district, look forward to working with the city on future developments and the addition of schools to the city.
That's great, Gina. That's great news, actually. Council, do any of you guys have questions of Gina about this proposed development? No? Appreciate the advance notice. Also want to thank the school district for the great cooperation we had with you with regard to the construction of 14th Avenue and schedules. It was a nightmare, and yet the school district was extremely responsive to the city, and the city tried to be extremely responsive as we could, and I think between all the parties, we worked it out. Thank you very much.
Yes, on behalf of, since you brought that up, we do appreciate very much the collaboration and the communication, and we're thrilled that it's open. Thank you.
Yeah, we are too. Thank you, Gina. Is there any other citizen present tonight who would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay, hearing none. We'll move to item 2 for the approval of tonight's agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to item 3, consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda for this evening.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.1 is regarding a library parking joint use agreement, and Travis has a proposal for us. If you read the agenda memo, it's a little detailed, but there's certainly a purpose, and go ahead, Travis.
Thank you. Mr. Tran, who is with us tonight and is available to answer questions when I've done my presentation, if you have any, is looking at opening a business in the strip mall on the corner of First and Main. And it's currently, it was occupied for the last 6 months or so by a drink stand, like a shake stand. And he is looking at occupying that place, but the problem that he's running into, and that is there's inadequate parking for that building in total. So if you go to the second picture. So in our conversation, we were talking about potentially two options for locating this parking. The one is immediately north of is immediately north of this building here, which is like a satellite dish company or business with electronics. And this lot here is unpaved and it's unimproved, although it does have some gravel on site and it's owned by the gentleman who owns this business here. The other option would be parking in the city parking lot over here behind a library. If I recommended that the property owner talk to this gentleman about making improvements to this lot, in the event they don't, and my guess is they won't because it's cost prohibitive, just to improve that for parking at this point, would be to move his potential overflow parking here so that when the on-street parking is full, people will have a place to park. And we were looking at potentially using this lot. I went out there a couple times. There are approximately 24 spaces, or it's a large enough to accommodate 24 cars, and it ranged between 2 and 8 vehicles. The various aerial photographs are when I drove by and did counts. So it looks like there's plenty of potential capacity in that lot. When I was having a conversation with Terry, who's also with us today, in case you have any questions for him, this business here, which is, I've heard it called the Salvation Army, the Calico Cat, or it is a, like a...
Adams County Development Center.
Adams County Development Center. They currently use that as overflow parking, but they don't pay anything for that privilege. Also, these two businesses here, or specifically the hair cutting place, the barbershop here, they also have, Public Works has seen people crossing the street here to park in this parking lot. So the question that's before you tonight, and that is, would you be comfortable allowing them to use that as a parking lot with no kind of formal agreement? Or should we institute some kind of policy where staff would pursue a written contract wherein a token fee is collected to help pay for the cost of whether it's picking up garbage or snow plowing and salting that site or doing maintenance in that parking lot? And should that be borne by the way it's currently borne by the taxpayers through the Public Works budget? Or should there be some kind of support for the use of that parking lot by the neighboring properties? Or the neighboring businesses, actually, it would specifically be businesses.
Well, there's maintenance to pretty much everything. So some kind of a fee, I think, to at least to kind of...
Well, I think the first avenue that should be looked at is he should be looking at that north parking, that parking lot just north of him. And then if something can't be done, would say that we talk about this.
So who owns that to the north again? Is that the table?
I'm sorry, I don't remember that gentleman's name, but he owns this property with this business in it.
Satellites Guerrero.
Oh, is that that last building there that owns that piece there?
Yes. Not this grass area up here, but specifically this lot immediately next to it.
And that's graveled already.
It is gravel, but it's not unimproved. And the problem that I'm running into, and that is the code is very specific. If you're to change the use theoretically to off-site parking or formal parking, is required to be improved, which means it triggers paving, sidewalks, stormwater, landscaping, yada, yada, yada. So therefore, you know, I can pretty much tell just by having the conversation with this property owner that when they approach this guy and say, hey, do you want to pay to improve your parking lot so I can give you the $10, $2,500 a month?
Is the city's in that circle, is that paved or is that gravel?
It is paved.
It is paved. Okay, so before we go any further, I want to ask Kelly the direction that we're headed with this. Do you have a comment?
Well, I do. You know, I think it, you know, one of the options kind of put to the council was, do we want to allow them to use it informally or should we have an agreement? I think if the city's going to allow any of those business owners to use the parking lot, the city certainly can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I do think it should be by way of formal agreement, because you're going to want, there's certain things that it would be in the city's best interest to have in such an agreement, such as maintenance, who's going to be responsible for what, and liability issues. indemnification, that kind of thing that we have in most of our facility use agreement, or all of our facility use agreements. So I would not go the, I would not recommend going the informal route. If we're going to allow people to use that, I would recommend the formal route. If we have a proper agreement with the proper provisions in place.
Okay, so what about though, this is just Mr. Tran, I understand. How do we go about the process of the others who happen to be using it?
Well, then I think it would be a process of beginning communications with them. You know, so we're now, it sounds like through this process of this development, we've come to be aware that other people are using the property. And if we want to allow that to happen, then, you know, we should, you know, commit that to a formal agreement now that we know that it's going on. And I think, you know, the city can approach those business owners and try and work that out. It seems like it's a benefit to them. And so maybe we can negotiate something.
Is it currently striped?
It is not.
Okay. So in order to make it an official parking lot, we'd have to stripe it. I think we should. That if we're going to enter into contractual agreements with the property owners in that area, that we provide them with a, you know, parking lot that can be utilized in that manner, meaning that there's entry arrows and exit arrows, and that you have stalls to park it, and they're lined. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And I don't think we need to gouge anybody. We just need to, you know, get something from them which will protect them. And they can actually post a sign at their business, you know, that says parking that direction or whatever.
And the city will clear snow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do already, right? We cleared the snow already, right?
We own it. It's ours. We should take care of it.
Yep. Okay, so
I think you should direct staff then to contact the business owners and let them know that we are opening this up for them to use under a contractual agreement. The next thing would be then to decide what we want to charge to each business owner.
So do we have a consensus of the council to authorize staff to move forward? Anybody against that idea? Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Okay. So let's move to item 4.2, fire department report. Gary and Jay are present. We had, at our last meeting 2 weeks ago, there was discussion of a proposal from the fire department. There was some additional questions we had asked. And so now, the representatives of the fire department are going to further expound on the information we got 2 weeks ago. So go ahead, guys.
So a couple of what we're going to do tonight is try and answer several of the questions that were brought before us and shortly thereafter that evening and see if we can answer some questions. One of the first questions you had was what was carryover. Now, we hadn't actually taken a hard look at this at the time either, so this brought up some interesting discussions at our district. So, but that was the question, what was the carryover over the life of the contract? Thank you. Any comment, question? I don't know if we can really answer anything right now on that.
Counsel, so this carryover just goes into the next year's budget?
It has it sometimes, and it hasn't other times.
So where does it go, then?
It just goes into unreserved fund.
So simply put, if your budget, let's just use some figures. So let's say your budget was $500,000 in 2003. You spent $579,000 and change, and that was just the unused portion of that budget, correct? As an example?
Yes.
So, yeah, so basically, this is the unused portion, what we would call the cash carryover, which was the unspent portion in the budget.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Of the contract.
From the City of Othello contract.
This only represents the contract.
There's carryover from our side as well, which goes into that same.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I think we understand that. Thank you.
Another question was, out of a roster of 23 volunteers, how many are actually active? How many show up to one or more calls per month? So this is a total for 2016, and because of the way we count for the point system for the volunteers, that calendar year is actually October through September. So this is the numbers you're seeing, so it's not quite a normal fiscal year. So when the fiscal year for points started, that was the number of volunteers that were on the roster. The ones we put a little star at are currently active today. So as you can see, what that says is that's the number of alarms that we have throughout the year, throughout each month. The total at the bottom for, let's say, the first one, October, was 21. City alarms was 4. And as we went through, so out of 254 fire calls, 100 of those calls were city calls for approximately 39%.
So could you characterize that for us? As far as your opinion, you know, where you're at, Jay, is with regard to the volunteers and what your response is, you know, in order to cover the fires adequately, et cetera. I mean, do you have an opinion about that?
We're down on numbers. Mm-hmm. We lost one last week, just unable to, with what he's doing for an occupation, he's unable to respond, period. Lost one to college, one was hired by Grant County 10, Royal City. Another one hasn't quit yet, but hasn't maintained his training to be eligible. So we're going to lose him. Right now our number is 21 for volunteers, which is down significant. We'd like to have closer to 30. Unfortunately, we haven't made that in several years. We have an average response of roughly 9 firefighters per call. And when we do get a structure, we get a few more that come into that when we get a significant call. Our daytime response numbers are limited because, again, all of our volunteers are worthy, with the exception of the two that are retired. So that's kind of the the volunteer in a nutshell.
The other thing is, under the percentage, is there some incentive to show up, participate? And if you meet a certain percentage, you get volunteer
position points.
Position points. So you need to uphold your percentage of.
So there's a hierarchy.
Yes. Well, there's. You got to jump through some hoops to keep that status of being a firefighter.
And part of that is the training. Maintain a significant level of training and responses.
We're going to show you that next. That'll be a little bit more difficult to see, but we'll kind of give you an example of how we keep those stats then, too.
Okay. Any questions at this point, Council? Okay. All right, go ahead.
This one's hard for me to see, so I'll read that up there. That's really difficult. We probably can't get it. But what that basically states is there's MedStar landing zone training, driver training, Bruce tour, Senex, McCain tour, hazmat training, alarm sprinkler systems, bloodborne class, harassment, SCBAs, fit testing for SCBAs, wildland PAT, tour lineage and Senex bean plant, live fire training, red car refresher, drafting, ladders, Simplot tour, pumpers and deck guns, driving course, live grass fire training, what's FDC training?
Fire department connection as part of the sprinkler system.
Rescue tools, driving course and trucks, hose and nozzles, pumper tender SCBAs, tour of the WCI buildings, long class driver's training, CPR first aid, red card field day. So, just an example. And then each volunteer that attends that training is going to get a certain amount of points. MedStar landing zone is 3 points.
How many hours involved in that, Gary?
It can vary. Our trainings on Saturday nights vary from a little over an hour to maybe 2.5 at the most on Monday nights. The weekends can vary from a half a day to a full day.
Now, when you do your hazmat training, is that just a kind of a...
Right now, it's a operations level.
Just an awareness?
It's one step above, and it's a refresher for our people right now.
Is that like an 8-hour course?
The refresher is not. It's so it's probably roughly a 2.5-hour class because it's Monday night. For the refresher, but short term, the awareness class is actually a 32-hour class. The awareness level is your first. And then the operations level class itself is a 32.
So you have qualified personnel that are rescue certified to be able to go into confined spaces and things like that?
No.
No?
Well, our operation level and awareness level is different from the industry side. Industry side is a little more lax on some of the requirements, and the fire side, we would have to be up into the technician side.
Okay.
Then there's three trainings that had 10 points, live fire training, long class driving training, and red car field day, or full day, or almost a full day.
Now this is all for volunteers?
Correct. It's for all of us.
All.
But they're the ones that are, we're keeping a list of their points.
Right.
They have to do it. They're required to do it. Some of these are required. Some of them they can miss. They're entitled to make them up. They're encouraged. to make them up because they need a certain point level to stay at a status of a certain firefighter.
When you talk about they, does that mean the four staff people? Or?
No, our volunteers have.
Oh, the volunteers. We're back on.
To maintain a level of training.
The four staff people are qualified in all of the operations.
We attend the trainings as well. Whenever we're available.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, our trainings are Monday nights as well. Lots of things going on.
Okay, so.
Because I don't really understand this, and I apologize. You get a new recruit. How long and how much training is that new recruit going to need before you guys will turn him loose on a fire?
What we're doing now, in the past couple of years, we've tried to run a classroom portion of it. And what we want to do is we want to get them to blend in and be active as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So we run a 16-hour short course. They come in for a weekend. We run that 16-hour course. And then over the next period of basically 12 months, they're doing hands-on training, trying to keep the interest level peaked and keep them really going. Because when we do the long academy class, we lose a lot because it takes 3 to 4 months to get them through, a couple nights a week. And
that's a lot of training.
It's asking a lot for a volunteer to do.
It'd be hard to get volunteers to do that kind of stuff.
It is. And so we modified it and spread it out, giving them the opportunity to mingle in and really get a lot of hands-on experience.
This isn't the first time you modified it either, is it?
No. And it looks like we're doing it again this year. We're adding some online classes, and they'll come out with a national record on standard or certification.
Okay. Any other questions right now at this point? Okay, go ahead.
One of the other questions was, what's the valuation rate for the county? My records only go back to 2009. It's not anything before that, not available online. So I got to go dig that up from the assessor. I have not done that. So that's what Fire District 5 is valued at. So 2009, $406 million. 2016, $601 million. So you can see the rate fluctuates. And due to the Tim Iman levy, the way our levy gets dealt with, as you can see, it systematically is going down. It'll gain a little bit 1 year, and then it drops. But we've gone from 87 cents per thousand to 80 cents per thousand over those years.
Council? Okay.
Another question was, how much are paying staff being paid? Here it is. Personnel detail with the two positions included, so you can see it where we were starting them out. And this is for 2017 proposed. It's a draft, it's not set in stone yet. We don't do our final budget hearing until second Tuesday of December. The things you're not seeing. We figured the benefit rate at about 28.8%. So that's where we come up with the benefit number, 90,000. And that's based on what benefits are being taken out currently. That's always a wag on how that will fluctuate depending on something.
Any questions, Council?
So the 90,000 is for the two employees that?
No, the 90.
What's the 90 again?
That's a proposal.
Benefits. 90,000 on this sheet shows you insurance payment, insurance payment from the district, L&I, and all that, okay? You wanted to see a budget? This is a graph to give you an idea. I kind of changed it up from what Gary had, only to try and throw it on one sheet of paper so that you could see together. This is not set in stone. There's going to be a lot of discussion in 3 weeks as we go through it, and the numbers will. This does not show a rate increase from the city at all, the current contract rate, and it does not show two employees, new employees. This is if everything stays static today, and we went into 2017.
So this is basically your expenditures on your budget. Okay.
Line item.
Yep. All right. Council?
One other little part, second sheet to that. This is the unreserved fund balance coming in at 17. Oh, that should say 17 budget. Our estimated real estate personal property tax, because the assessor has not evaluated the certified evaluation of the county yet. We hope to have that soon. No special or no increase on the protection service contract. Inspection fees, this is basically our revenue. So estimated total revenue is 743.8, total resources 2.2 million. Less the expected expenditures for 17 or 742 leaves us with 1.46.
And this is the budget without?
Without anything.
Without the two new proposed? Yeah, okay.
Can I have a question for you? How do you come up with the estimated expenses of 742 this year? Last year, your expenses were only 638.
Because of the increase. We have an estimated personal property tax of 491. If we receive the same amount of contract payment from the city, 251,
right.
And we budget for that.
But what I'm saying is your shows there your estimated expenses are 742.
Yes.
That's a hundred and whatever, $104,000 more than it was last year.
We don't know that yet. We still have 3 months of last year to go through.
Okay. I just
our budget ends December 31st, so we still have the last budget you were presented with that we got from the county did not include October payroll.
Less expenditure.
October payroll, November payroll, and December payroll, as well as any expenditures that may have incurred over that 3 month period.
Okay. So this is only for District 5. This is
County City. That's combined.
No, but this doesn't cover Ritzville, right?
No.
This is just for this district right here, right down there.
Right. And it's pretty much it.
Yep.
I think that was it. We forgot a question. Apologize. So one of the questions was the grant that we are pursuing for breathing apparatus, is that for the city side, county side? It's for both. Or it would be for both. and would include the total package. Another question was, other than labor, what expenses are you incurring from the city? I think we provided that before. That one, the listing that you gave.
The updated programs and the associated cost to do that, plus the equipment to do that.
And then,
I'm sorry.
And then the two guys that we want to hire, is there going to be enough work for them? Or are they going to sit around and hang out at the station? We project that they're going to be working at all times, doing something. The one is a training officer, so he's going to be lining out the training in order for Tom, who is the current code guy, to spend more time doing code enforcement and fire code within the city.
No enforcement.
No enforcement.
Inspections.
And then the other one is a firefighter, and so he would be doing station duty and such. That's the expectation.
And be a first responder.
Okay, so those on the salaries that you put up there, four of those positions are current, and they're being taken care of the chief, the assistant chief, the captain, and the secretary?
Correct.
The two new ones you want are the trainer and the firefighter?
Correct.
Okay.
On that that first page you put up there with the numbers on it, that was money left over from the, how much is that? You didn't put the total on that. How much is that total? Is that $251,000?
We can't. Gary and I have talked about that extensively over the last 2 weeks. It's a difficult task, because he said some of that stuff, some of the expenditures that happened over that period of time were city expenditures, but the record keeping.
So what is in there like right now? So if you went to that account, how much is in that reserve?
$4 million.
It's just all mixed together.
$1.4 million.
I'm talking about the money that's left over from the $250,000 that we've been giving them in the last 10 years.
Yeah, they can't.
They had $10,000. You know, last year was
well. It's in an account that comes up to $1.4 million.
Yeah.
But it's a mix of county and city.
But what he's asking is if we could look at that one sheet again of the current the city budget that so. I'm a little bit low, but just in projection, if you looked at the 13 years that the city paid for and I just averaged $15,000 a year carryover, for 13 years, that's $195,000. That over 13 years, that's what carried over into this reserve fund. Is that what you're kind of looking at, Angel?
Yeah.
And I'm very low.
Where's that other money from the reserve coming from? Is there any more money out there that's left over from the county or other savings?
That's where the rest of it is. Is the county.
The county, yeah.
So the 1.4 minus whatever this is what is the rest of the county.
Well, that's the difficult thing to.
They can't tell you.
Yes, to trace back because of the way records were kept. Originally, some of the expenses that were taken care of did come out of
the county side.
The county side,
district side.
Yes.
Okay. So that being said, you got a reserve fund of $1.4 million. What are you just going to keep growing that reserve, or are you going to
earmark for?
For what?
Well,
they may have a savings.
Well, the 1.4 is actually the reserve. That's like a savings. Either I don't care how you look at it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but did they have that earmarked for something like a fire truck or for replacement?
That's what I'm asking.
But that's what. Now, if you take 1.4 and you divide it into 13, so you're talking about 100 grand a year. So here in the next 5 years, you're going to have another $500,000 in the way the numbers are going. So you'll be at 1.9, no?
Not necessarily.
But it's added up to that. I mean, if you divide it by the 13 years, it's over 100 grand a year.
That.
Unless you're going to use that money for something.
The district portion of that has been building for more than 13 years. We have never had to finance any of our replacement engines or anything like that. We do have things scheduled on our long-term capital or even our short-term capital. Unfortunately, I didn't bring that tonight. I don't think you have it. But one is an engine. We're going to replace an engine. We've got to replace quick response, and we've got to replace the command unit coming up. We've also got some building maintenance that we're doing or going to have to look at doing. And we've identified, we haven't put a time limit on it. There's some other things that have to fall into place as far as maybe an additional satellite station for the district.
So more or less, where do you think you're at as far as to get that done, money-wise? I know it's tough to figure out, but you know what a fire truck costs, more or less.
The fire truck cost for the district right now is probably close to $450,000, today's cost. And
we're due for one early 20s?
Yes.
I don't remember the exact year we have it earmarked, but
2022. It looks like it's earmarked for about $570,000, probably named like.
You're seeing that. That's
yeah.
For your.
That's the city side.
The city side truck.
That's the city side truck, and then the $700,000.
That would be for an aerial device. Now there are some different ways the city can look at that in the future too. The purchase of fire apparatus. There's some different options that you can look at and ways
to drop that cost a little. And as you get closer to that date, those are when those conversations can start percolating. We're being driven a little bit. You know, Gary made his case earlier about the survey and rating. We're being driven by the same thing. So as we look for improvements within the district, we're looking at how survey and rating is going to impact us and what we might need to do, which could be a satellite station. So land purchase, building a station, doing some of that. But we don't know exactly how that's going to play out until population swings in the county, builds up in the county, whatever, and how standards and rating starts to treat us as the evaluator. So that's that unknown. Would it be south, would it be west, would it be east is, you know, anybody's idea at this point in time. But we want to at least put something away so that when it gets closer to that, we've got that ability to possibly go out and start that.
So you don't know how, you don't have any records how far, you can go back as far as to how you came about to getting in $1.4 million, right? You said it goes further.
It goes back 13
years.
The district.
Okay.
We just didn't. We only went back from the time that the city started the contract.
Well, I know there's got to be a reserve for pretty much on in every business, and also I know we are growing as a city, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you as far as hiring more, you know, a couple more guys. And that money's needed, but seeing $1.4 million and not knowing what your cost is, I guess it's up to council and how much we, you know, we want to help out with.
Well, basically, what I gather from what the previous meetings were
so
is that they were asking
anymore,
for.
We'd like to throw something out.
Okay.
Almost from the beginning of doing this, we weren't very comfortable in the direction we were going. And it became more and more apparent that you had a ton of questions and wanted a little bit more in the weeds about how everything was being done and what direction we're going. We feel that we need an immense amount more input from the city in order to make sure that we're touching all the bases that you think we need to touch. So at this point in time, we wanted to answer questions.
And we hope we've done that.
Yeah, I think so.
And then respectfully, we're withdrawing the proposal at this time because we believe that over the next year of 2017, that we actually need to sit down a lot more often and start to discuss the direction that we're going to make sure that you are adequately served. So we're not, we didn't come here to make our case per much as we want to just explain some of the questions that you had. And before you started talking about what you're going to allow us and what you're not going to allow us, I think we needed to step back and just say, this needs to be dived in a little bit more intensely.
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe what we need to do is have our members of the council committee that attend the fire meetings, maybe a council committee of three and add another one, and then review where you guys can go back and forth on all your questions, not only from our standpoint, but from your standpoint. And then maybe what we could do is go, as Jay said, a deeper dive into the relationship and the workings of the fire department. And I think that as a result of all of that, we should be able to come back and examine our agreement, look where there needs to be maybe some changes, either direction, doesn't really, but we don't know and understand any of that until we do a deeper dive. So with that, I think we should move forward with, certainly the council appreciates the withdrawal of that. I think we'd be more comfortable moving forward with a planning process with you guys. And that way, I think what we could do is work out something that works out for both the city and the fire department, and is something that we don't have to examine at this basis, except maybe 8 to 10 years from now, unless a bunch of stuff changes.
Our initial suggestion would be that you attend our January board meeting, and that we can discuss a tentative schedule of workshop meetings so we can sit down and do the hammering out. That, you know, trying to get stuff done at a council meeting is difficult. Well, we're at a regular board meeting, and we like to go home fairly early too. So we would think that a workshop would be better served by both parties at some kind of a schedule that we can hopefully work out in that first board meeting in January. That's our new proposal.
All right.
I think some of this information brought on the first Monday nights also, so that we're all here, because John may have a different idea than Mark or I on the committee meetings that when we're there, you know. So I think, you know, in between those, I'm not saying every time, but in between those, it'll be good to come in on a Monday and go, hey, this is where we're at in front of everybody, would be a good way to do it also.
One other thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't include this. Travis has done a wonderful job data-izing the whole thing. And I don't want to leave him out. He did a ton of work over the last two weeks to help both of us out, I believe. But as Gary and I were looking over some of the numbers that Travis came up with, we were going. So I think we really need to dive into that and look, because of what he presented, it really makes us scratch our head a little bit. But I want to thank him for doing the work, because it certainly helped us identify that we have a little bit bigger issue than what we're kind of dealing with today. So
he has a way of doing that, doesn't he?
He did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
I don't want you to go away feeling that we're opposed to the increasing of the service. I mean, we would definitely like to see more firefighters, and on a permanent basis. We just got to figure out how we're going to. Yeah.
We don't have that feeling. No, not whatsoever. We're not giving up on things, but I sat through the first contract negotiations, and I can honestly say that both the district and the city left happy, and that would be my goal. We have a mutual vision, and we're headed that direction, and that everybody can
leave with a smile, and something that will last for...
You know, I think something else, too. I think that, you know, one of the long-term issues is going to be the recruitment of volunteers, and maybe there's something that we can do as far as the city where, like, in the police department, they started an explorers, police explorers program, and they started them young, so that the goal is long-term, eventually, we'll get some of those kids are going to become City of Othello police officers. And maybe what we could help you with is implementing some kind of program within the middle school, high school, where we start conditioning kids who are interested in you know, being a volunteer firefighter. Maybe that would help. I don't know.
I believe it would. And we've had some of those talks.
Good.
And I'd really like to visit about that at some of the meetings.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, regardless of how many you hire, you're still going to need some volunteers. Because that's the only way in a small community like ours, we're still going to need that. And we would, I'm sure you would welcome more volunteers. But if they had a really good idea of what it is you do, and like you said earlier on in the training, you kind of get them interested and you show them what's going on, maybe one of those kids will become the fire chief someday. You know what I mean? So anyway, we appreciate you coming.
It's
very, very well done. And I think the January board meeting is a good time to begin to lay out a process of workshops where we can jointly plan our future together.
Board meeting is the 10th of January.
Yeah. At what time?
7 o'clock. We'll put the first up on the agenda. And,
okay. So how many, who's on the fire, Mark, Eugene? You're the alternate?
No.
Oh, you are. So the three of you are on there?
Yes.
Okay, well then we can't have any more than three. So,
all right. So this meeting you're gonna have on the 10th of January, it's one of your meetings that you have.
Our regular board meeting.
Board meeting. So we can't come as... I'd like to come and be able just to learn a little bit more about... Mm-hmm. You know, I got a lot of questions to ask you, but I'd rather ask you down there than here. You know what I mean?
So
you know, as far as operational questions, you can come down and eat some...
Coffee's at 10 and 3 every day.
Come down and meet some guys.
And at 7 in the morning.
I think, Debbie, you could post that there could potentially be a forum for the city council at that meeting, and then all of the council could attend if you wanted to.
Yeah, they can answer right now.
Is that correct, Debbie?
If you have a forum there that are talking about city business, that could lead into a meeting. So, and that's when you have committees. We have three council members on the
meeting. I'm fine with letting
the three. Yeah. And I am too. If I want to come down and talk to you, I'll just come down and talk to you.
Let's ask Kelly.
Yeah. I don't have to
meet. Meeting times anyway.
So in terms of Mayor's question and what Debbie was talking about, if, you know, we do want to avoid having a quorum of city council present at the board of directors or the board meeting, the district meeting, unless we're going to identify it as a public meeting for the city council. I think just putting a notice that there might be a quorum in the paper and there might be a public meeting, I wouldn't advise that. It's too vague, and I'm not confident that it would keep us within the confines of the Open Public Meetings Act. So I think the council would be best served if they decided, are we going to have a quorum there? If so, we'll post notification that there will be a quorum in a public meeting of the city council doing city business at the board, the district's meeting, or we decide that we just have the committee, the three members of the committee go, work out dates for the workshop, and then the committee can meet at the workshop. At that point, the council can determine if they want the entire council at the workshop or just the committee, and then if they want the whole council there or a quorum there, they can post notice that that would be a public meeting, or they can have the committee report back to council, and they can work through that way how the committees usually operate. But that certainly is up to you guys, but I think the best practice is to decide if you want a quorum there, and if so, then declare it a public meeting.
So you guys have your instruction. Let's just start with the three. Travis, did you have something you wanted to add?
My suggestion was going to be that we meet in January with the committee and lay out a timeline, and maybe what we can do is include a workshop and a public hearing for them to come here and have the conversation with you as part of your process, rather than co-opting their processes and their meetings to serve your purposes.
Yep.
So. That way, people can go either to those meetings or to the city meetings for input.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Gary and Jay?
I think we'd really like you at the 10th meeting, and we can talk about the process and go from there.
That sounds good. All right.
Thank you.
Ben. We'll go to item 4.3, annual BIOS software contract. And Spencer, you have a with Rigo. Rigo's here.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Tonight, for your consideration, is an agreement with BIOS Software for the 2017 year. BIOS Software is the company that we contract with for our financial system, our general ledger, our accounts payable, payroll, utilities, water, sewer, garbage, utility billing, our receivables up through the front, our permitting for Travis. So tonight, for your approval, is our agreement with them for the 2017 year. Every year, this is a reoccurring agreement that we bring before you, that I bring before you every year. And BIOS Software is great. They're responsive to our questions when we have questions, and their software is patterned after the BARS manual, which is prescribed by the state, the Budgeting, Accounting, and Reporting Standards manual that we're required to follow. So at this time, this is the recommendation that you authorize staff to enter into this agreement for the 2017 year.
Any questions, Council?
Is there any chance of getting a longer-term contractual agreement?
They would probably be open to that if we requested it. I don't know why they wouldn't. We can certainly, if we were to move forward with this one for 17, we can propose that and maybe lock in a rate for future years.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the percentage increase. You know, you do it year after year after year, the percentage increase, it goes up. But if you did it over 3 years for a 4% increase, it's 3 years, 4%, you know? So I'll make the motion to enter into the contract agreement with BIOS Software for 2017.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you very much. And I'll look into having a multiple year contract.
And we'll move to item 4.4, tourism budget review. And this is the proposed tourism funding for 2017. And Spencer and I believe Jen Stevenson have comments.
Yes, thank you very much. As you know, the city receives about $40,000 a year into a tourism fund, and this money is restricted by state law in its use. It can only be used for organizations that promote tourism within the city of Othello, that bring people from outside the city into the city. Before the council can consider spending this money or putting this, building the budget for this money, We have to go through the LTAC, which is the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. It's made up of one council member, two folks representing the organizations that spend the money, and two organizations that pay this tax, the hotel industry. We met with the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee a few weeks ago. We considered the benefits that each one of these organizations bring to the city, and are making a proposed allocation, a recommendation for your consideration tonight. And Jen Stevenson is here. If you have any specific questions, or if you wanted to briefly say, this is what our consideration would be. You're attacked by the chair.
Any preliminary questions?
The city could benefit from another motel in the town.
Yes, we definitely could. That would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. I think we all agree.
So the Caboose project, they're asking for 99. What are we doing to it? Payment or?
No, I'm sorry.
I was going to say there's a limit on how much we can increase each. You can't get more than.
Yeah, in the past, the council has set up a few preliminary rules. One was no one organization can receive more than 30% of the available dollars. And then the other, it was a calculation. When we look at the money, the available dollars from one year to the next, it's a 2% increase. We try to build a 2% increase in each one, just to try to keep it somewhat equitable among all the receiving parties. Ultimately, when we get right down to it, we have X dollars, and we can divide up those dollars however we see fit. This allocation here is a little bit different from allocations that we've had in the past. You can tell that this one obviously is not a percentage increase because it arrives at a round number. And then the council has in the past has wanted us to reserve about $30,000 in minimum fund balance for that fund. These expenses here, $41,635 would leave us with $338,875 in minimum fund balance. It's close to the 40 requested by council. It's one that the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee felt it was warranted based on these allocations, these awards for the year.
So, Jen, are you the new chairman of the LTAC?
I don't know if I would say chairman on it yet.
Okay, so who is on the LTAC now?
Gina.
Yes.
I was on it. What's his name from CHA in the chamber?
Roger Borden
is a Chamber of Commerce board member, also works for CBHA. No one from the hotels came, were present.
We tried to get Jackie Peppinger from the Best Western and Sajad Khan from the Cabana Motel, the Greenwood Hospitality. We can't force people to come in.
Okay. And then Spencer, you were present.
Then I'm present just as a facilitator.
And Wade was present as well, right, for questions and such.
So these are your recommendations of how the money should be spent?
Okay. Any questions then, council? Very good. Thank you so much. Thanks for your participation. So now that's going to move us into item 4.5, 2017 budget discussion.
Thank you very much. Tonight we're kind of bringing everything together with our budget. We had a few outliers from previous meetings. We had the lodging tax, the tourism dollars that we just discussed. And tonight, the only red zone item that we had to discuss was the fire. We had an extra $42,000 there that was being considered. What I can do with this $42,000 being highlighted here is I can take that out for now, so we just have the established, or the... the existing contract for 2017 puts our cost for fire services at just over $252,000. That's already in the budget. And that, so that last fire item was the only outlier, the only outstanding item. And as we move into the new year, we can discuss the future of the city and the future of the fire department and what's going to be mutually beneficial as we move into the future. And so we can come to a figure in the future for that item. Other than that, we, sorry?
Did we get any numbers on the lighting?
Can we hit that 42,000 and move it into the fire reserve? If something comes about this year, that means we've got that money there. That's where I would like to see that go,
yeah,
rather than back into the fund, into the general fund.
If we were to leave that 42,000,
because Gina just expressed one.
Well, we need the lighting for the skate park, and we requested to get that a couple meetings ago, and it doesn't sound like they've responded, the company.
What we have so far is a preliminary $25,000 in there. Would that be sufficient to cover the lighting? Well, we have the $25,000 in there.
So we could make sure that we have plenty, either enough, or we could lower it if it needed to be.
At what point would you have to put that out to bid? Okay, so we have a suggestion to keep it in the fire budget into the reserve. Is that what you're suggesting, Corey?
That's what I would like to see. I thought we had somewhere.
We have $60,000.
But I thought we had money set aside for the lights.
There's a fire reserve. So instead of it being $60,000, Corey's saying make it $102,000.
Right.
For the 60, yes. So we'll move the 42 and the 60 over into fire reserve. Yeah.
That's what you want, Council?
With that, this is really a concluding budget meeting. We've had a long series of meetings that we started with different department heads and producing preliminary budgets. We brought those to council in a series of council budget committee meetings, and we've planned out our new year. We've made a number of changes, a number of additions to our budget this year. Just some of the highlights are up here. We have our patrol vehicles. We have three patrol vehicles. Two up here is the ongoing expense, and then this year alone we'll have the third, the catch-up patrol vehicle from 2016. So we can carry up to having two patrol vehicle purchases every year. We're adding two full-time employees to the Public Works Department, one for water and one for sewer. We have server upgrades. We have
going to a fourth Public Works permanent part-time.
We have our fourth part-time. Where is that one? Right here.
Seasonal.
Yeah, our fourth
seasonal. Yeah.
Fourth seasonal. We've had the request for 2016 was four. We only gave Kerry three of them, and so here we're rounding out his request at a full four. Those are replacing the Department of Corrections employees. So we have a number of exciting things moving on into the future. With that, we can probably segue into our next item, which is the budget hearing for the budget for the year.
personally, and I'm just going to throw this out because this is the time you throw it out, rather than put $42,000 in the fire reserve, I would rather buy a new heating and cooling system for this, for the city hall. We've been needing it for 10 years. It hasn't been done. We haven't had the money to budget it, and it's going to be at least a good $40,000 bill. And we'll do it once. It's a one-time deal, and you won't have to be done again. But all you have to do is sit in a committee meeting in there and freeze to death, or come in here and burn up to death, or go into the mayor's office and either freeze in the winter or burn up in the summer. And it happens all over this city hall. And I think that that would be a better spent money than putting it in a reserve fund. Because we need to take care of our property.
Yeah, I got to add that that the heating and cooling system probably needed to be replaced from the beginning, because I believe the building was designed for a city over on the west side of the state, and so it wasn't up to par as far as air conditioning and heating for our climate, and they've had problems with it from year one, and I was here, I can attest to that because they had me trying to work on it. So I'm in favor of that. I think that it's a one-time thing.
We had a wastewater treatment operator.
The only thing I was going to say is Gary, do you anticipate needing that $42,000 before 2018, or do you think it'll take pretty much a year to hammer out some of those issues?
I hope so.
But would it be in your budget for 2017, or it wouldn't come about until 2018 anyway?
You're going to have to identify people to fill those positions. You're going to have to advertise. That could take a while.
You can't do that without money, though.
Okay. The anticipation would be getting ready for 2018. So I think that $42,000 would be better spent on the building this year, and then...
I think we need to get a price on that first.
Yeah. There's no preliminary work on this. There's nothing.
Probably going to do it. Our fire reserve fund, we've been not adding to that like we should. If we add the 100,000 this year, we'll be at 290,000. And that doesn't even bring us to half of a truck. And I think we need to add to it. We need to find out, get a cost on the heating system first.
I don't think, personally, just because we're going to flash away the 42,000, that we start throwing other items out there. It's awful late in the game in the budget season where we're actually trying to approve it to bring up an expenditure item such as, why wasn't it on the list before?
I think it was on the
list
last year.
Does it need to be? Where?
Well, I think it was on
the
list last
year. Why was it never discussed as a...
It was brought to council by Stan. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
I brought it up in budget committee meetings, and I brought it up here in open council meetings that we need to take care of our property. And if we don't start taking care of our property, it's going to fall apart. And one of the things that Gina mentioned is... It was improperly, we had the wrong system installed. It wasn't set up for cities to get up to 105 degrees in the summer and get below zero in the winter, and it just isn't designed properly for that. How much that would cost, I mean, valid point. We can't just say, okay, 42,000 is going to cover it until we know what it would really cost to cover it. This is a very large building, and the system could become more expensive than we even know, and maybe that's something that we do next year. I only pose the question because I think the council needs to recognize that you also have a responsibility here for your own building, and we do need to take care of it. So, having said that, maybe now we'll move into the public hearing portion of the budget.
Yeah, and one of the things that we can do with that $42,000 is just leave it there in the general fund for now, and we can attack this early in the new year, and we can get some real numbers and bring that back to council.
Very good. So let's move to item 4.6, public hearing on the 2017 preliminary budget. Right now at 7:45 p.m., I'd like to open the public record in this public hearing for the purposes of the 2017 City of Othello budget. Spencer, you have a presentation.
Thank you very much. It's going to be a big year for us next year. We have a number of large items on the budget. We have our two new public works employees. We have a truck for each of those. We have a number of street projects planned, continuing with the work that we're finishing up this year. Next year, we're going to have our transportation benefit district up and running full bore and producing dollars for the streets next year. We have our variable frequency device for well 6, $500,000. Number of big things. We're operating with the money that we have at our disposal, and we've been aggressive in getting grants so we can bring $5,000 to the table and turn it into $10,000 using other federal and state funding agencies. And with that, this is our budget.
Okay. This time I'd like to open the public testimony. Any member of the audience would like to speak in support. There's three segments: those in support, those neutral to the current budget as we've laid out, and those in opposition to the current budget as we've laid out. Is there anybody here present in the council chambers who would like to speak in support of the city's budget as it's laid out? If you would, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. You'll have up to 5 minutes. You can step to the microphone. Is there anyone present? Is there anybody that's neutral that would like to speak to this proposal? Hearing none, we'll move to, are those in opposition to the current budget that's laid out? Please raise your hand, I'll recognize you. Okay. Hearing none then, I will close the public testimony. And now the council, you guys are free to further deliberate any of the items on our 2017 budget, most of which we have already come into agreement upon. Is there something that anybody particularly would like to bring up or discuss?
I guess I still think we need to do something with the fire. If it's putting it in there, hiring somebody or something like that. We're adding public works staff, but when's the last time we've added fire department? It's been a long, long time. So just my suggestion, keep
and
that.
The city is growing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot more houses than when we originally started this agreement.
Okay, well, we'll agree to leave the $42,000 in the general fund. I'd just like to see it put under the fire fund in some way, underneath the category.
Fire reserve.
Well, we've got three different categories. We've got a fire station generator, we got an equipment and breathing apparatus, and then we got fire truck. But create another one and call it firefighter.
There is a fire reserve.
All those things you mentioned are part of the fire reserve.
Right.
Okay.
So put another line item in there, firefighter, and put the $42,000 in there.
When I said I wanted to leave it in the fire reserve, that was in anticipation of potentially hiring some guys this year. They're saying they're not going to be ready this year.
Not till 2018.
Not ready to hire anybody this
year. Still just in the general fund?
Right.
So it can be moved?
There's two budgets. There's the contract, which is the $251,000, and then there's the portion that the city, which Mark's talking about, that we put in every year into the reserve fund that will pay for fire equipment, apparatus, et cetera.
Which will make it $102,000?
if that's what you, that's what the council wants to do.
Yep.
The fire reserve fund needs to grow. We're not coming anywhere close. We've finally gotten into the idea of grants for equipment that I think is a step in the right direction for that. That $42,000, like I said, that was in anticipation of hiring a couple guys. We're not going to be hiring a couple guys. And like Mayor said, we've got a building to take care of. You know, and he's right. It's horrible sitting in some of these rooms. You know, it is. It's absolutely horrible. I sit in there and shiver in them like you can't believe.
Have we ever looked into what the problem is?
Gina just explained it. It wasn't designed.
They just basically took the blueprints for this building that was built for, and I don't remember what city it was. It was built, it was already designed and built over.
Well, it's not the capacity then.
No, it's just that
it's the ductwork. Because in my home, just going back to that, because that's what I'm doing, you know, if the HVAC guy comes in and puts a 4-inch line in the living room and the 6-inch line in the bedroom,
I don't think
it's not gonna work good.
I think it was more of a capacity issue. And because I know that there's like some of the rooms that have heating panels, like tiles in the ceiling, and that was adequate for the west side where it's, you know, fairly mild both summer and winter. But over here, it doesn't cut it.
How many years has this gone on?
Since they built the building.
So
it's the original system.
Well, let's take care of our building. I don't care what happened from the junk we sent over to some other place. Let's take care of our own building and get the heat and the air conditioner right.
They were actually still putting desks together for some of the rooms when I was sent up here and was actually looking at the heating system and the cooling system at that point in time.
So we rushed the deal then.
Yeah, they just basically took the blueprints and built it. They didn't adjust for our climate.
Yeah. Okay.
It just was.
So nobody told them that you live.
They looked at it at least.
Sure.
Terry,
check it out. It can be as simple as a thermostat in the wrong place. Because if you have a thermostat in a big area,
they've checked that. I'll
have Terry up here if you want more technical details. We have gone through this system over and over again, adjusted thermostats, mm-hmm. looked at vents, looked at everything. As Gina said, it's just not designed correctly for this building. It's not the right system. It never was. There's no, they've adjusted it ad nauseum. So that ship has sailed. We can spend more money, good money after bad again if you want to, but we've been there, done that. So.
And I believe what just a couple years ago we did bring, it was brought to us a heating system, and we didn't have the money at that time. It was one of those things that got stuck on the back burner.
Well, the thing about it is you're not going to spend more money, because if you're going to bring somebody in to check it out, they're going to tell you what the problem is. So it's not like you're going to tell them to come check the thermostat or check the ductwork. You come right. Up, you let them know.
Terry, correct me if I'm wrong. We've done it. I'll let Terry speak.
It's going to be about 80 grand.
What?
It's going to be about $80,000, double that figure of 42. This system in here, I have enough capacity in that air handle there to blow off the ductwork inside this building. You have a three-stage air compressor system outside capable of cooling this whole building. You have a brand new boiler, state-of-the-art. It raises its heating capacity upon load. Those have all been updated. Problem is you got the oldest data system, control system in the building. There's only one place that knows anything about it, and that's Apollo. There's only got one guy that knows how to handle it. It's got Blimo valves, stainless steel Blimo valves. When I came in 2008, I had all of them changed. There's 44 of them in the ceiling. The controls, Johnson controls, there's no stop to them. The program does not tell it to stop. It tells it to open and close. When it gets to the close position, it continues to strip the gear because there's no stop in program to tell it to stop. We brought it back a couple years ago. Stan brought it up. It was $50,000 for a Yugo, $80,000 plus for a Cadillac. We choose not to. So I've dealt with it by moving it back and forth. There's engineers' plans in here for the amount of airflow for each one of these registered vents for the rooms. You can't put heaters in rooms and expect thermostats to work either, because it gives a false reading upstairs and everything shuts down, opens and closes. So it's a little more than 42,000.
The control system
needs to be changed. You're running at about 20-30% on the VFDs upstairs on the incoming and outgoing air. They're not running 100%. If I ran them 100%, the actual ductwork, the 8 and 12 inch ductwork, would blow completely off the coils that are in each one of the zones, and tape won't do it. Because I'm pushing enough air now that we're whistling through the ductwork just to get air in places that we need air, and taking it away from places that don't need because the room's smaller. That's kind of the latest update since 2008.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Okay, now you guys got a lot more information. We don't have $80,000 for this year's budget to do that, so are we back to the fire department reserve?
Sorry, I'd like to see it now.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I guess so. We budget this in here in the next couple of years. It's got to be done.
We've got a lot of one-time things in this budget because we've been playing catch. We're playing catch up. So next year it should come forward as an item.
A lot more easily. Yes.
Okay. I think we have an accord here. Is there any other comments about the budget for 2017? Okay. At this point, we're not approving the budget, so I will close the public hearing at 7:57 p.m.
And open the next one.
And now open up at 7:57 p.m. The public hearing on the 2017 capital facility plan. Spencer.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mayor, just a second ago, you mentioned that we're not making any hard decisions tonight. At our next meeting, December 5th, we'll have a whole series of ordinances that will be put together based on all the conversations that we've been having and all the decisions that we've been coming to. So at that time, we'll be able to set everything in stone for the 2017 year. This is a copy of the preliminary capital facility plan, and this is a plan where the city takes a look at future needs. This plan is looking out for the next 6 years. Where's the city going to be, and where do we need to concentrate our efforts when we're looking through the budget process? I just see I have 2016 open shown in the high gap, so we can look at year 2022. That's the sixth year out. And this plan, like I said before, is just a plan. So when we're making our budget decisions, we make them with the future in mind. With some recent developments in our budget, the internal water and sewer allocation plan that we've been talking about, it gives us some more options that we haven't had in the past. And so Wade and I have been talking about our capital facility plan at great length. And what we would like to do is, well, first of all, propose this as our capital facility plan tonight, with the understanding that we're going to take a harder look at our capital facility plan in the future. So when we have an extra $400,000 to use in our general fund, we don't want to lock up those dollars in operating expenses without knowing what other red zone items we may want. Wade and I want to make sure that you as the council are able to make decisions with your eyes wide open and making decisions with 10 years down the road in mind. With that in mind, here is our capital facility plan for the next 6 years. There's one change I would like to propose right off the bat. Under the first section, general administration, we have our computer equipment, $103,000 there is, those are the items that are in our budget that we discussed at our last meeting. And then after that, we would have about $14,000, $15,000 that we can put aside for future computer IT purchases in the future. The item that I'd like to add under general administration is the HVAC system that we can add maybe under 2018, put an $80,000 item under 2018 or 19. I'll propose 2018, and then we can always circle the wagons and address that.
Any objection, Council?
And this is just a plan. It's something to help us. So nothing up here is set in stone. It's just so it's on our radar, so we're not forgetting about some of these things.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I may be getting ahead of you, but I was looking at, we've been discussing fire a lot tonight, and 2022 is the year that we're going to have to replace engine 8112, and pretty much an estimate right there is $570,000. Mm-hmm. Now, that's without any grants if we're lucky enough, blessed enough to get any. You only got $500,000 for all the equipment in 2022, so we really need to ramp that up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in today's dollars.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's
yeah. So right now, in
that works.
And if I'm correct, Gary, that's going to be a must in 2022 on that.
To stay under 30-year rotation.
Correct. So this year we agreed to put 60,000 away. If we continue with putting 60,000 away in the future years, this is something that we can also adjust. With the new year, we can look at adding that other $42,000 to that 60, so we have $102,000 this year, and maybe increasing that in the future. Is this something that you as council want to see? We can increase the 60,000, maybe 80,000. A year, just so we know that there is a serious urgency there.
Council?
I'd like to keep it just like it is.
We can always add more.
We can always add more at that time. 6 years.
But that, in 6 years, that has a potential of being a big bite.
The 500.
Taking a bite out of the budget. I think it should be increased.
But like Mark said, that 570 right here is at today's numbers. I mean, in 6 years, that could be a $700,000 truck.
Hopefully we can get grants for it, but.
Well, here's, you got 190,000 today. Mm-hmm. So if we add another 100, that's 290 at the end of 2017. And then you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. That's another 300,000, and 300. That's over $600,000 just about what you got going right there.
So you're not talking as.
But we've all got a $570,000 truck coming up. We've also got breathing apparatuses that are due.
Those are listed in 2021.
How's it being paid for? If we don't end up getting that grant. Mm-hmm. So that's. Almost $800,000 within the next 6 years.
I'd almost like to see that 100K a year.
I'll go along with that.
100?
Yeah, I think it needs to be 100 a year.
Look, we've got an obligation to the people, the citizens of this city of Othello, to provide them with security through maintaining a good police force and also with fire department. And we're under contract with the Adams County Fire Department for providing service, but we got to maintain that as we do with the police department. We're asking for $96,000 a year for vehicles for the police department, and we've also done some red zone items for dispatching and radio and stuff like that. We've got to maintain that same amount of coverage for the citizens of Othello for fire protection. We've got police protection and fire protection.
So I've heard 80,000 and I've heard 100,000. What do you guys want to do?
I'd be more comfortable with the 80 if we're going to increase it, but I still think leaving it there because that $42,000 extra that we're putting in this year was kind of earmarked for the increases that we were looking at for the contract and we're still going to have increases possibly for that come 2018.
That's correct. Is there any other input? Comments?
So if we're to split that difference, we can put $80,000 moving in into the future years. What that would do for us is just constantly remind us that there's an urgency there.
We can always add to it. We can always add more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We seem to get to this point in the budget every year about what we're going to. So, I mean, the discussion will come up again.
This is a capital facility plan. It can be changed at any point. It's a guide.
I get it. So, Spencer needs a figure.
So would $80,000 be enough to remind us of the urgency?
Eight is good.
Yeah, let's start there then.
Okay.
I can put that in there. The other items, we skipped over the police vehicles. We've already talked about those. 2017, the reason that's 144 is that's three cars. We have the one catch-up there, and then moving into the future, we have two cars a year. Under the Parks and Rec, we have our park mower, $128,000. Then we have our park restroom. We're going to set aside $100,000 this year, and then match that with another $150,000 next year, so the hit isn't so hard in one given year. Under our street fund, we have a number of projects that we're looking at. ADA improvements, we have our next phase of the First Avenue project. We have Lee Road. This is an item that has been on kind of in the back of our minds for a number of years now. This $1 million isn't a hard and fast number. It's likely that we'll be able to get some grant money to accompany that, but this is something to keep in the back of your minds also. Under the water fund, we have the first item here, $180,000. This is the ASR grant that we received, 100% grant that this work is being done with. At our last meeting, we had Varela here talking about the future of the water NFL and a series of grants that we were in the process of applying for. This next line here, 800,000, 4.5, and 400. This is that series of grants there that are going to help us look into the future of the water here in Othello. We have the well 6 of the VFD at $500,000, a new water tower. Again, if we put in a $1 million tank, it's about $1 per million, so it'd be about $1 million for that new water tower. So 300 and 700 together are about $1 million. We put $500,000 in there for water line repairs, for repairs of existing water line, and then installation of new water lines with new development. And then we have a water tower maintenance program at $265,000 a year. Once we're done with the initial phase of this plan, then it will start dropping off. So we're only including $100,000 in here for the outer years. And then the last few items, we have sewer. Again, we've put dollars in there for sewer line repair of existing and new. And then we have our $30 million sewer treatment plant. That's just out a number of years. We know it's a big number, and we know it's out there. And when we're setting our rates, we're setting our rates with this item in mind. Also taking into consideration that we'll be able to get significant grant money for that also. And then our LE approaches. This year, we're only putting $25,000 towards the LE approach improvements. And then our goal is to put $55,000 away for future years. And like I said, when I first introduced our six-year capital facility plan, now that we have some extra dollars in our general fund at our disposal, we want to have a series of meetings starting next year where we look at what money we have and what we want to do over the next 10 years so that when we're making our decisions that we can make them with our eyes wide open. With that in mind, I guess we can go I can answer any questions that you may have, and we can I'll turn the time over to you, Mayor.
Thank you, Spencer. At this time, I'd like to open the public testimony portion of this public hearing in three parts: those in support, those neutral to this capital facility plan proposal, and those in opposition. Is there anyone here tonight in the audience who would like to speak in support of this capital facility plan? Hearing none, is there anyone neutral to the proposal that would like to speak? Hearing none, are those in opposition to this capital facility plan that the city has before it? All right, with that, hearing none, I'll close the public testimony. And now, council, you can ask additional questions regarding the capital facility plan. We've made some discussion and some changes to what was presented. Is there any other changes or comments anyone would like to make tonight on the five-year capital facility plan?
On the street fund, we should probably have something in there for what would be South Broadway South from Les Schwab, where the old, where they did that portion of the street going the other way. It's getting pretty bad. Broadway is.
Les Schwab South, moving south.
Yeah, it's just, it's, I don't know what that street
is. You got the north in there.
From where they finished all the way up to just about the overpass where they, that portion of the road's getting pretty bad. We need, that should be on there somewhere.
Do we have a figure?
A lot.
what we can do before next meeting, when we pass our capital facility plan, we can do some research, and we can certainly include another line in there, so we know that this is something that comes in the future.
Very good. Well, it's like, if that's the case, then you're part of the committee, right, Mark? So what number does it sit on the list in the committee? Because you guys decide and determine the priority of the streets and the work that needs to be done. If it's a one or two item, then yeah, for sure it needs to be on there.
Yeah, we'd have to look back. And
there's only so many on this the
list
for the state.
Are you, John, are you talking about the 6-year street plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so whatever number it sets on, that can be jockeyed anywhere.
Right. Yeah, they can be moved around.
But it is on there, both north and south.
Okay.
They're both on there.
And they both have figures associated with them. Yeah. So we just need to bring it forward. If we have one street that's falling apart more rapidly than another, and we've got a list from the committee, definitely we need to move it forward, bring it onto the list of capital improvements. And that's your way of presenting it to the council for approval.
Okay. I'm in agreement with that, too. Anything else we want to add or subtract from the 20, from the five-year capital improvement plan? All right. Since we aren't going to be taking any action on that tonight, I will close the public hearing at 8:14 p.m. And I think one thing, well, I'll wait on that later. Let's go to item 4.8, ordinance creating OMC 1170, titled Street and Park Trees. Amy.
Good evening.
Very patiently waiting for your opportunity.
Save the best for last. I don't have anything new to add as far as rhetoric goes. I have talked with Kelly twice and made revisions to present to you tonight the final draft of the ordinance. I also had the intention of bringing the amendments to ordinance 14.57, which is already part of the OMC, to coincide with some of the changes that will need to happen based on the new ordinance. But I wasn't able to pull that information together quickly enough with the holiday to get it here tonight. However, if you do decide to pass this ordinance that's in front of you this evening, written in 14.57, there is a section that states any conflict that there is between that existing ordinance and another ordinance to go with the more strict of the two. So if there was any ambitious tree activity over the next 3 weeks or so that I don't anticipate happening, we would be covered by the clause in the existing ordinance to support following what we go forward with tonight.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
So, this is only for anything from this point forward, because under the approved and discouraged and prohibited trees, if there are currently prohibited trees within the city limits, are those going to be controlled by this ordinance?
This is only talking about city properties, correct?
This would only be controlling trees that are in the city's right-of-way or the park or easements. I'm not trying to mandate what private property owners can do on their own property as far as planting. The trees do have identifiable characteristics that don't necessarily make them appealing, but this ordinance is not meant to mandate what private property owners do on their own private property unless it happens to be the right-of-way, which technically isn't their property.
Okay. Fine.
Kelly, do you have any comments?
No. Amy and I worked together on this, making the revisions to clarify some things. The only exception, what Amy just said regarding trees on private property is correct. The only time where it could potentially a tree would be prohibited on private property is if there's a city easement on private property. Just wanted to clarify that. So, because you wouldn't have a right-of-way going through somebody's private property, but you will have, well, you may in certain situations, but more common you'll have easements, and so that would apply there. But otherwise, that doesn't restrict what somebody can plant on their private property.
Thank you. All right, council, any other questions? That I'd entertain a motion to adopt this street and park tree ordinance.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Kelly. Item number five, is there any unfinished business? Council?
I just got a question. This would be for Kerry or Wade. I was looking at payables today, and for the 14th Avenue project, there was $84,000 something, close to $85,000 for traffic control. And we had that road closed, but we were still billed for the $84,000. Wasn't that original contract when they were going to close or just have half of 14th so they could still have traffic going by? And then we as the city decided that we're going to close it off?
Yeah, because it was going to make
let them close it off so they could get done faster?
They shouldn't have to.
Yeah, they did, but we still had to incur traffic control to get the buses through, get the traffic to Juanita's and get them through the scoops, right?
But that was only for a portion of the contract, for a portion of the project.
It is, but we shut the road, but we still had to jockey the traffic to get those through the school district to get them to and from. And then we had to move them over because we poured a valley down at Ash and 14th Avenue, so we couldn't mount them on that, so we could run them around, bring them through Oak and bring them back through the bus loop the other direction, run them around the cemetery and turn them around the other way.
Well, was $80,000 the amount that was for the entire project that was budgeted, you know, that was in the contract for the entire project?
Well, there was $64,000 for the 14th and then $24,000 from where 14th went to Ash, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you would have had traffic control for a portion of the project from like September, you know, whenever the school started on, but the whole summer they didn't have any.
Okay, I think, well, I think we need to do a little more research on that. Don't you think?
No, I'll talk to Barella.
Okay. Yeah, I think Barella's the one's going to have to answer that.
Good catch, Mark.
Yep. Okay. We'll have Barella when they, we'll get an answer from Barella. Is there any other unfinished business? No. Okay, under new business, I want to have Terry give an announcement about First Avenue and the TIB.
We went out and we did an application for 26 DeSoto, and we got accepted through TIB. And just here the other day, we got accepted for the remainder part of Soda all the way back up to Spruce. So from 26 to Spruce, where we ended our project on the first phase, we got all of that awarded in TIB, probably right around $920,000 right in there to do that through TIB. So that'll start this spring sometime. Hopefully we don't take care of it in the winter.
So now all of First Avenue from Main to 26 is going to be brand new.
It'll have storm in it as well, so a storm will come back to Elm, and we'll take care of a lot of those issues down there in that street. So that'll be wiped clear down to 26.
So. Terrific.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That was great news. At our next meeting, there's an annual requirement of the Transportation Benefit District Board to meet, which we will at the December 5th budget workshop, and we'll meet at 6:15 p.m. We need to adopt a Transportation Benefit District budget. Item 6.2, the council is going to consider budget ordinances at the December 5th, 2016 City Council workshop, and we intend to adopt our 2017 budget at that time. And then item 6.3, at the city, we are collecting children's hats, gloves, and scarves for the Christmas basket program. Drop your donations off at City Hall. Item 7, the council is also going to receive the following, which is 7.1 department head reports. And having no further business come before the City Council, I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:23 p.m.